Good morning, and welcome to a Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And today is, today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. Today, a reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There's a Solution. We are on page 26. We're in the third paragraph. Today's readers, we have 12 Steps, Mary F., 12 Traditions, Jen P., Reader of the Text, Susan S.H., page 164, Nancy P., our backup today is Tony P., our newcome greeters, Karen W., and we're waiting for host Betsy H. to come on in. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, March 23rd, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,305, that's 23305. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 23,306, that's 23306. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth edition states, each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary F. to please read the 12 steps. Come on in, Mary.
Good morning. I'm Mary F., a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to give service.
And we're not hearing the moderator.
Can you Kathy, we can't hear you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, wow. And I'm saying I can't hear you, Jen. So it's Kathy. I'm back. I want to
Good
thank
morning.
Mary. And I'm going to now, please, when I'm heard, please ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions. And thank you, Priscilla. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning. Good morning, Jennifer P. Grateful compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 26, the third paragraph, which starts, He Begged the Doctor. Now I'm going to ask Susan S.H. to please begin reading. Come on in, Susan.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you well. Thank you.
Good. Okay, this is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I am a compulsive overeater recovered today and grateful to be a part of this meeting. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society, and he would have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. That was a great physician's opinion. And that's a very sobering opinion. That's heartbreaking. And I honestly had that opinion about myself. I was chronic morbid obesity. I'd been well over 200 pounds, 99% of my adult life. I didn't really feel there was much hope for me, but I was desperate. And I desperately had gone through every diet I could think of and every diet that came down the pipe. And they worked, if I could keep doing them. But there's that old twist of the mind that said I couldn't keep from picking up again. And once I picked up, I could not stop. And I've read the statistics on obesity. What a hopeless situation that is, too. And here I am, 9 years of abstinence, of maintaining a pretty comfortable weight for me. And I'm amazed. I'm still amazed. But hearing those things, I can imagine his desperation. And a doctor he trusted told him this. But yeah, the next paragraph is such a relief. Anyway, I was hopeless, and you know, today I'm not hopeless. There's help that I never knew was available to me. And I have come to know that the steps are the directions that help me to continue to turn to my higher power in everything. And that's the difference today. So I'm very grateful for what I've been given. And I hope that in some way I can share that with others. And I will continue to work at that. So I will pass.
Susan, thank you so much for starting us off. That was Susan S.H. from Ohio, and I'm going to take some names for our first lineup. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And please say your name once. It helps me to hear you better.
Nicole S.
Larry
K. Nicole.
Ken W.
Thank
H.
Thank you, Larry.
Maggie A.
Thank you, Maggie.
Leah S.
That's Leah.
Did you get Ken?
Yes, I'm sorry I didn't say it. Thank you.
That's
I have
all right.
Nicole, Larry, Ken, Maggie, and Leah. I could take some more names.
Suzanne okay. M. Warminster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, I'm going to start with this six. Thank you, Suzanne. We have Nicole S., Larry K., Ken W. H., Maggie A., Leah S., and Suzanne. I don't know her name. Come on in, Nicole. Please start to share with us, and I can time you. Please. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. This is Nicole S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this paragraph reminds me, I was utterly hopeless when I was in the food in my illness, and there was no solution for me. I didn't have a solution. And I remember thinking that I wanted to be locked up in one of those like bubbles where someone would just put food in 3 times a day what you needed. And I really visioned that because I thought that's the only way I'm going to be able to stop eating. I also had visions of, you know, if I could just have somebody feed me like they do a dog, their portions twice a day. And, you know, what kind of a life is that? And I was utterly hopeless, and I didn't think that there would ever be a solution. Quite a few years into OA, I just thought this is just going to be better than what it was. You know, I'll have a group that I can, you know, complain about how I can't get out of the food. But it is just wonderful. We're going to read further on that there was a solution. There is a solution for him, just the name of this chapter. And I'm so incredibly grateful through God's mercy and his grace that I have been. I'm in a recovered state of mind and body, and I don't have to be under a lock and key. I don't have to be locked up in a bubble where someone feeds me. It's really a miracle. I'm just so incredibly grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful that there's people who have helped me on this path, who have given me the right information and this book that has helped me, and above all for God's grace and his mercy in saving someone like me. Thank you for letting me share.
Nicole, thank you so much for sharing. It's Nicole S. from Colorado. If anybody came in after we started, I just wanted to let you know that we are on page 26, the third paragraph, which starts, he begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth in that one paragraph. So next up, we have Larry K., followed by Ken W.H., and then Maggie A. Come on in, Larry.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks so much. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. You know, hopelessness gets a bad rap in modern society. You know, sometimes having the strength to recognize when hope should be relinquished is actually the springboard towards liberation. And for me, you know, chasing after another diet, another pill, another job, another relationship, in other words, all these self-directed plan Bs, all those, you know, the Monday morning bright ideas we get, well, that prevented me from being open to a solution towards freedom. And look, I acknowledge that relinquishing hope, it's hard to do, because it means that of my own will, I failed to get what I expected, and I have to acknowledge that. And, you know, I think, remember the character Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Veruca, if you remember, she demands anything she wants the moment she demands it, all the while destroying everything in her path. You know, remember the song she sings, I Want It Now? You know, the lyric is stuck in my brain. You know, she wants cream buns and donuts and fruitcakes with no nuts, and give it to me now. So I come into OA, you know, when I want relief from the obsession, I want it now. I don't care how, I want it now. But I would offer to you that giving up hope doesn't mean all is lost. It's a new beginning. We come to the rooms like Veruca in step one. We're confronted with the same thing Roland was, something he was tethered to, a sense of power. And Dr. Jung, what does he do? He rips off the Band-Aid of control. You know, and so for me, abandoning hope in the self in step one and pivoting to the possibility of divine intercession that happens in step two, that's the beginning. I'm invited to access power. And, you know, page 12 in the big book, it says it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. Hopelessness to hope. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was Larry K. from Illinois. Next up, we have Ken W.H., followed by Maggie A. Come on in, Ken.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Hopelessness, end of the block, dead end, all that kind of thing. Yeah, I got there and didn't have a solution. But I'll tell you, I eventually found my way around. Somehow a friend led me to a vision for you. And you spoiled it. this is a spoiler alert, because you went back and started studying from the beginning and had all the forwards and everything else. And, you know, the doctor here says to me that I'm hopeless, but in the forward of the first edition, it tells me that I have a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And so there's a spoiler alert. It's basically telling me it's going to look like it, Ken. You're going to look lost. You're going to look defeated. You're going to look powerless. But surprise, it only seems that way because there is a solution, and that solution I have come to know and learned is believing that a power greater than myself could solve my problem. And that happens to be for me today, God. And I'm not, that's the way it is today. So, yeah, this is a hopeless moment in the paragraph that we just read. But spoiler alert, the good news is coming. So get ready for it. Thanks, Tom. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Ken W. from North Carolina. And if you just joined us, we are in the big book. The chapter, There is the Solution. We're on page 26, where it starts the third paragraph. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. So we are now ready for Maggie A. and then Leah F. Come on in, Maggie. Please share with us.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. I am Maggie A. from Massachusetts, and I love this paragraph, too. The whole truth. I am seeking the whole truth, and I'm seeing the truth now that when I'm living in my own will, and not just regarding food, but anything, I end up really nowhere. I end up, you know, when I fill myself up with foods I shouldn't eat or even small amounts, I just turn away from my higher power, living in self-will in whatever way it is, then I end up with such an emptiness. You know, it's ironic. I'm filling myself up, but I just end up with this emptiness. And it's because I'm not following God's will, which is always the best thing for me and for those around me in my life. Also, you know, when I satisfy those cravings from my lower, I call, not my, I should say, from lower power, serving my flesh, I also just have not just the emptiness, but the consequences of brain fog and, you know, this subtle kind of, well, not always subtle, but depending on what it is, you know, like, guilt and remorse, and then I can get discouraged. But thank God for this program and that the love of my higher power. And, you know, even though I'm finding that sharing on a meeting, I get nervous, but I'm finding I'm going to really try to share every week because it's really good for me. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Maggie A. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Leah F., followed by Suzanne. And then after Suzanne, I could take another lineup. And just a reminder, we're on page 26. There is a solution, the third paragraph. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. Leah, please come in and share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm so grateful to be recovering and recovered one day at a time. There was a great physician and his opinion. You know whose opinion was? It was the sports club for me. It was the Weight Watchers for me. It was, you know, even a doc, we had those times. We had a doctor who sewed your jaws together. They wired your teeth together. So, you know, all these things that are barriers that I'm not gonna put anything into my mouth except, you know, liquid, and I'm gonna lose this weight. And you know what? Even coming into vision, it took me a year until I finally understood it. But I persevered. That's my secret. There was something that kept me over here, because here I heard the truth. I heard people on the line talking about certain steps that they took. I heard about there being subtle changes in my lifestyle that I didn't even do. It's just like some kind of superpower. But it was interesting to me. It kept me tethered, and it kept me coming back. and I was really angry, but it kept me coming back. And now, since 2014, I have maintained a 72-pound weight loss. But it doesn't make a difference how much weight you're going to lose, because whatever is the intense and the desperation of you feeling comfortable with your body and understanding that God knows what is good for your body and being in that mode, it's going to take you. It's going to take you to unbelievable, beautiful heights. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leah. That was Leah S. from New York. Next up, we have Suzanne. And after Suzanne, I could take another lineup. Suzanne, please come in and share with us and let us have the first initial of your last name, please.
Good morning, A Vision for You. My name is Suzanne M. I'm from Warminster, Pennsylvania, and so grateful to be recovered and to be in A Vision for You meeting. These meetings have truly saved my life and have helped me to become abstinent after 8 years of trying it my way. Talk about hopeless. I'm recovered from drugs and alcohol for 18 years, and yet this still haunted me. Even despite the fact that I know that I can turn this over to a higher power, but I just, you know, as our literature talks about making food our God, right? So, and that was going to fix me. And as we all know, nothing ever fixes us except the man upstairs. He is my only solution. You know, hopeless is, for me, is, you know, just every day saying I'm going to do this again. As other people talk, multiple diets, multiple, you know, exercise equipment. I have every piece of exercise equipment that has ever been out on television in my home. And guess what? Just like this program, it takes action. I can buy all of those things, but I had to get on them. I had to use them. I had to do it. And that's what I've learned here, you know, that I need to put the food down. I need to bring in my higher power. I need to use all of you and a sponsor and steps to clear my mind and keep me present in the moment. I hosted a 90th birthday party on the weekend, and it was just a lovely day. And of course, for me, it's always retrospect. You know, the next day I thought about it. You know, hosting a party involves food all day long. And I just, you know, put things out and did what I had to do. I made sure I took time to socialize. And, you know, in hindsight, it was just a beautiful day. And why? Because I didn't worry about the food. You know, the desserts were the desserts for other people, right? I had a fruit tray for me and for others. But so, again, I have no idea where I would be had it not been for all of these things. And I am just so grateful every day to be living in God's light. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either of our meetings, we ask that you hold back. I'm now ready to take another lineup. We are on page 26, the third paragraph. He begged the doctor to tell him, and we read through, that was a great physician's opinion. If you'd like to share, please give me your name and the first initial of your last name. I can take a new lineup.
Betty G.
Nicole
M.
Okay, the only person I heard. The only person I heard was Betty Jean, and then somebody from Michigan.
Donna M.
Is Donna M. from Michigan?
It was Aaron K. from Michigan.
Oh, thank you,
Aaron.
Who's from Ontario?
Donna M.
Okay. So I have Betty Jean, Erin K., and Donna. Would anyone else like to share with us this morning?
Barbara.
Thank you, Amy.
Amy.
Thank you, Barbara.
Rifki R, New Jersey.
I'm sorry, who's the R?
Rifki R.
Rifki, good morning. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so this next lineup, we're going to start with Betty Jean, Erin K, Donna, Amy G, Barbara P, and Rifka. Betty Jean, please come in and share with us and let us have the first initial of your last name and where you're calling, please.
This is Betty Jean M from Connecticut. Glad to be here with all of you today. I never asked the doctor to tell me the truth. I wanted the doctor to lie to me the way I was lying to myself. When the doctor told me the truth, I pretended I didn't hear or I denied everything. I would say to the doctor, I don't know what's wrong, doctor. I'm, you know, sticking to this diet. I'm doing everything you told me. I don't know why this diet works for everyone else and not me. I just lied like to him like I did to everyone else, like I lied to myself. So my health got worse and worse and worse. And finally, because I had so many medical appointments, finally I crossed paths with a physician's assistant who told me about OA, and that made all the difference in the world. My life changed, did a 180 after that first meeting. And I've never been the same, and I've never stopped going to the meetings. At that first meeting, I heard keep coming back, and that's what I've done every day since then. 90 and 90 is my life, basically. I go to meetings every day, and that's what saved me. Yesterday, I had a cardiologist appointment. It went great. She was so happy with how well I'm doing. All my blood work came back. These other medical tests I had came back. I had no anxiety. It was a brief meeting. She did not talk down to me. She did not scold me because I'm following the directions of this program. And that is what has worked. And I don't have to fear going to the medical providers, and I don't have to go to nearly as many. The damage I did to my body, I'm reversing. You can't get younger, but I'm telling you all, I am getting better. All my blood pressure, my cholesterol, everything is going in the right direction because of this program. It works if you work it, and I have scientific proof of that. And so I'll pass.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is...
I think I was next. Moderator, Kathy, you need to unmute yourself.
Just hold on one sec. Let our moderator get back on. You need to unmute and dial back in.
Go ahead.
Should I start or?
Yeah, who's ever next?
Kathy?
Yeah.
This is Erin K. I think I was next.
Yeah, Erin. Well, you were, Erin. Let's go ahead and we'll see if Kathy can get back on. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. It's Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. And, you know, I'm thinking about when I was brand new to this meeting, and you know, I think about the whole truth was that in and of myself, I am utterly hopeless with this food thing. And I had been in OA for about a year and a half, and I was ready to just give up and leave because I couldn't stop binging. And I thought worked the steps, you know, and I'm just like, these steps aren't working. And it took me, you know, a few meetings. It took me a while. It took me actually listening to one of our special edition recordings of a woman really laying out the hard, hard truth about, you know, really this, what this disease is, you know, that I have this allergy of the body, an abnormal reaction to certain foods and behaviors, and an obsession of the mind. And as I was listening, you know, I was like, oh God, I hate this lady. I hate everything about her and everything she's saying right now, because it was like my gut was pierced with the truth of it. And I could see myself in the cycle she was describing. And, you know, I'm grateful for that today, because it was the beginning of seeing my utter hopelessness and accepting that I could no longer, you know, keep doing this, trying to, control and enjoy certain foods. And I had to really humble myself and admit a lot of, you know, truth to myself before I could really recover. I was doing it my way too. And, you know, that always sounds a little mysterious when people say that, but, you know, what I found for myself and have found, you know, when you really fill in the details of what my way means, it's usually I'm eating things I have no business eating, and I'm not really working this program to the level that is required to really have a psychic change and recover and stay recovered. You know, that's my way, right? And my way is utterly hopeless. And that was the truth for me. So if you're new, please just keep listening and keep coming back. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard now? It's Kathy, the moderator. Thank you, Erin Kay from Michigan. Next up, we have Donna. Donna, want to come in and share with us and give us the first initial of your last name, please?
Yes, it's Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. I'm going to assume I can be heard.
Yes, we hear you well.
Great. I'm so grateful to be on the line to share. It's been a while since I've shared. But this paragraph, it's what I used to identify out that I had never been morbidly obese. I had never had any health issues. So I really wasn't a compulsive overeater. And I left program for 4 times for over a year each time. And it just got progressively worse until the bitter morass of self-pity, I think it's Bill who writes about that, brought me back into program. But then it took another decade or so before I would recover. And that's even being in vision and listening, because I was deluded. I thought I simply had to put down my food and ingredients, which I had struggled to do for years, and that I would recover. And then I saw that volume was an issue, and I let go of volume. And then I had a slim body in OA and thought I had arrived. Now I was doing the step work, but then I went back into the food and I started to binge, and I saw that I had never conceded to the eating behaviors of bites, licks, and taste, and I couldn't have I couldn't have that spiritual experience so necessary for recovery if I was getting an effect for the food. And today I'm grateful that I let that go, and I have 6 years of recovery. And I offer hope to anyone in OA who's struggling that if after almost 3 decades I can recover today, that it's possible for you if you put down all the foods, ingredients, and behaviors and substances and work through the steps and continue to live in the steps, that we can recover. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. Next up, we have Amy, followed by Barbara, then Rivka. And we will have time for a couple more shares after that. Amy, please come in and share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. So grateful to be here. What an awesome meeting. So he begs the doctor. I mean, can you hear the desperation? I remember the desperation as well, clear as day. They say when you're ready for recovery, the 3 D's, denial, delusion, and dying, desperate, and doomed. I mean, that's the way I felt. I didn't understand what I was up against, the physical allergy and a mental obsession. To me, I was looking for external fixes for what was an internal problem. I had no idea. I thought another diet, more willpower, more knowledge. I thought there was something that I was missing and that I needed some fix. And I begged my therapist. I begged my doctor, and I didn't understand. And then the doctor, can you hear the nail in the coffin or the jail door clanging shut? He not only says that he's utterly hopeless. When you look up the definition of hopeless, it's an absolute extreme degree. So we are hopeless. I am hopeless. He was hopeless to an absolute extreme degree. Holy, totally, absolutely. And that's the kind of extreme thinking that I need to have. I need to know in my heart, my gut, my soul, from my toes to my head that I am who I say I am. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am hopeless, utterly hopeless to fix myself. My sick mind cannot heal my sick mind because of this mental obsession. And when I put those allergic substances into my body and I have the allergic reaction of the phenomenon of craving for more, I cannot stop. Those substances have to never be ingested, one day at a time, forever. That is who and what I am, and it has to be that extreme for me. Because if not, there is no way in hell I'm going to work the 12 steps. I don't know about you all, but without me, make amends, do a moral inventory. Are you kidding me? That's not going to happen until I know that there is no other way and no other solution but this solution for who and what I am. And I'm grateful for that. As dying and as desperate as I was and how awful as that was, I can remember it. I have a foundation upon which that powerlessness that I feel, that I'm going to work this program, and I still do, one day at a time for a few 24 hours. You know, the first word of step one is we. It is a program. It's a we program, of the fellowship, of the steps, of the tools of tradition, and of a higher power that relieves me of the bondage of self and this compulsive overeating. And I'm so grateful for it. But it has to start with the me, myself, and I, that says, I surrender. I surrender, 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 because I cannot fix myself, and external circumstances will not fix this either. I need a program, and I need a higher power. Otherwise, I am utterly hopeless. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Amy G. from Maryland. Next up, we have Barbara P., followed by Rivka R. And after Rivka, we have time for two more shares. Barbara, please come in and share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Barbara P., compulsive overeater in Georgia. What I heard this morning, I heard it from the opening speaker on, was this hopelessness, obviously. And what I never saw was this never regain his position in society and place himself under lock and key with a bodyguard. Like, but he's talking forever. He's talking, every solution, like the opening speaker, I thought about asking my parents, I remember being young, asking my parents to put a lock around, like chains and a lock around the refrigerator, but my ego wouldn't let me do it at the time. I never asked. But I thought that was a viable solution. I never thought about what would happen once you took the chains off. You know, same later on when I was really spiraling down, I thought about going to treatment, but I never thought about what would happen once I got out of treatment. You know, I thought jail even kind of sounded good. It was like you said, I mean, you walk around in slippers and they hand you 3 meals a day, and so maybe that would be a way to control my food. But the reality was, if I ever got out, if I wanted to live, like, I could exist in any of those situations. I probably could have existed with someone opening the fridge 3 times a day, and that's all I got, or bringing me meals in my slippers, you know, in robe. But the reality is, I don't want to just exist, and that's my choice today. If I want to exist, there's a lot of ways, I guess, that someone could control maybe my food, and I could probably live for a while like that. But I wouldn't be living, and I wasn't living when I was in the disease. I feel like what this program does, what working these steps do, and what he's talking about is, if you want to live, not exist, then something has to change. Something has to get done, and that's when I got willing.
you know, and then I walked in and I was not a God person. I was not a religion person. I was, you know, I tried to find every way for OA just to help me with a food plan because I figured, and again, I never got the never, that a food plan will work until it doesn't. But first bite or first bad decision even, and I'm off and running because I'm an addict through and through. I think that's what this doctor is trying to say. He was so wise. He was saying, yeah, it's never going to change. I don't know. It's the never that I got to get a hold of this morning. So with that, thanks. That's awesome.
Thank you so much, Barbara P. from Georgia. Next up, we have Rivka. And after Rivka, we will have time for two more shares. Rivka, please come in and share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Rifki R. from New Jersey. I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to be able to share this morning. I didn't see any options for myself. Like, I was totally hopeless. I hated myself for not having any self-control, and I didn't see any way that I would be able ever to control myself from overeating. The only option, especially like, you know, if I have a family, some of them, like my husband is not a compulsive overeater, loves sweets. Like we always have them in the house, and you know, he enjoys them in moderation. He has no problem with that. But I did have a problem with having them in the house was a big problem for me. I couldn't understand how, like, I couldn't, you know, I didn't feel like it was a nice thing to, you know, tell my husband he can't have these things in the house just because I can't eat them. So I couldn't understand how I'll ever, or to have treats for the kids in the house. I couldn't understand how I'd ever be able to lose weight with these foods in the house. I mean, the only options I thought of that could work was either to, you know, have surgery, and then I wouldn't be able to eat, I would only be able to eat small amounts. Or another option that I thought of was to get really sick, like, but not so, like, to get sick so that I wouldn't have an appetite, but, like, not so sick that I would, like, die, you know, like, so just, like, somewhere in between. And then I had it all perfectly planned, you know, and then, like, and then, you know, just for a little while, and then I'll, like, lose a lot of weight. And then once I get better, I'll, you know, that will, like, be my motivation. Like, I lost weight now, so I'm not going to, I'll be able to go on a diet and keep it off because I wouldn't want to gain it back. So that's where I was, pretty hopeless, like, and with no solution besides for those. And I'm so glad that God had a different solution for me and he brought me here to these rooms because, you know, those two solutions that I had were like really not good solutions. And here I have a new lease on life. I'm working the steps one day at a time, and my food is down and I lost over 100 pounds, thank God. And God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I just have to, like, stay open to the possibilities and just allow, you know, surrender and allow God to, like, work his miracles through me and for me and be grateful. And all I have for today. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, as Rifki R. from New Jersey. Okay, we have 6 minutes left, so I can take two more shares. We're on page 26.
Heidi H.
Jason,
okay,
K.
Anita. Oh, I'm
Toby
so
K.
sorry. Oh, wow. I have Pete B. and Anita J. I'm sorry I couldn't get the others. Okay, Pete, want to come in and share with us, please?
Sure. Thanks, Kathy, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. Appreciate your service. And my name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. you know, I think it, you know, it would be kind of ridiculous to not acknowledge that the landscape from a medical perspective has changed dramatically from 1938 when this was written to what it is today. Because I don't think you could go to a medical profession and professional say, hey, I'm having trouble controlling my weight. What can you do for me? And they have several options. You know, I don't know if anybody watched the Super Bowl or any TV show. They give you several options for people that have a problem with substance use disorder, with alcohol use disorder, with binge eating disorder. They can minimize the desire to ingest the substance with pharmaceuticals. It's an outside issue, but you know, it is in fact reality, right? And those things will help people, even, you know, people that are addicted to food. It'll help. It'll minimize the desire to take in the food, and that'll suffice. So yeah, you can do all the things that people do that we talk about in these meetings and get a sponsor and report your food and make a bunch of phone calls and do all those things to manage the food, to manage the addiction. But here's the sobering news, the real hopelessness of the condition. If you do in fact have the twofold disease, those pharmaceuticals are not going to take away the phenomena of craving. And if I do choose to ingest those substances, there's no medication that's going to change that in me. And here's the other problem is that many of medical professionals do not, even the people in recovery, physicians that manage recovery don't understand the condition, allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. They look at compulsive overeating as a behavioral disorder, as a process addiction. But for people that are truly inflicted with the twofold nature, there's no medical solution that's going to change the fact that I have an abnormal reaction to these substances. And the only hope I have is one entire abstinence. I have to abstain entirely from the substances and the ingredients and the behaviors that trigger the phenomenon of craving. And I have to have a spiritual experience in order to be restored to sanity and make the appropriate choice not to put those substances in my body. I'm never going to, you know, come up with a mental defense or human aid that's going to, you know, allow me to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by food and make that decision on my own. That must come from a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, Pete, thank you so much. That was Pete B. from New Jersey. And Anita, please take us out. Please, Anita J., come on in.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy, for hearing me and your service. I'm Anita J. I'm trying very hard to live in the recovery out in Massachusetts. All I keep thinking about or seeing in my mind is Jack Nicholson saying, "You can't handle the truth." And I don't remember what movie that was in, but those crazy eyes and the truth he was speaking. You got to be careful when you ask somebody the truth, because they might just tell you. I remember the doctor. The last time I ever asked a doctor for the truth, I asked him, I was sitting on the table, swinging my legs, I just remembered all that, and just saying, "Do you think I hold water?" And he reached over and grabbed my gut and twisted it and said, "This is not water." You know, I can't handle the truth. I will tell you now, though, I can. I can because I want to be better. I have to know. When I'm talking, you know, I used to call it talking tuna fish. I don't know why I say that, but I don't want to talk that anymore. I want to talk what I've learned since I joined Overeaters Anonymous, and particularly what I learned when I joined Vision for You. It was a life-changing. Why? Because the first thing I learned after all these decades was You can't have one. That's a life-changing truth. And it hasn't changed. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in certain substances, Anita, you can't have one. And actually, it's a relief to know that, isn't it? And thank you, Kathy, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Thank you for taking us out. And I want to thank everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,308. That's 23308. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Nancy.
Good morning. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.